All right, now, amongst the things that are happening on our little blue ball that is spinning through the universe here.
Mm-hmm. The Earth.
That's correct. That is correct. That's what I'm referencing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. She got that right. There's a lot of things happening. You got the Koreans just launched a missile into the Sea of Japan. That's got everybody going to Twitter. You got the issue of Syria. Mm-hmm.
And that's
using chemical weapons against their own people again. And
women and children. It just, those images are horrifying.
The politics of that are horrifying to me today, at least. That this is all that Sean Spicer said, well, this is Obama's fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's actually Bashar al-Assad's fault. But the question is, what is the government, what is our government response going to be? The tepid response of the previous administration certainly is ripe for criticism in history books. Right now, we're living in real time. Mm-hmm. The question is, what are they going to do about it? That's what I would like to know. That's what we're paying them for. We're not paying them for. I don't get paid, so I don't have to do anything, right?
Well, so far, there hasn't been a response from the administration when asked those questions. Secretary of State Tillerson brushed that question off when asked what will happen now after the massive chemical attack in Syria.
And the president is still trying to figure out, and his administration is still trying to figure out what they want to do about health care. They offered an olive branch again, and now a week has gone by since the almost a week and a half has gone by since the vote didn't take place. So they've gone back to the different stakeholders in the House and in the Senate to talk about what health care might look like. And when we last knew what the bill looked like, there were a lot of people, both on the moderate and conservative wings of the Republican Party, that are like, I don't think that this is what we want to vote for, which is why the White House didn't bring that health care package to a vote. But they've been hammering some things out. So we're going back to our expert, Dr. Stephen Klasko, CEO of the Thomas Jefferson University and Jefferson Health Center. And doctor, thank you so much for being with us. What changes? First of all, let's go back to what that proposal was on the Friday that the vote didn't occur. There was a lot of the pre-existing health conditions still existed for coverage, and so did the kids on their insurance until they're 26, which are two of the public things that people really can kind of grasp and understand. The rest of the stuff is mechanics that when you go to, if you have private health insurance, when you're sitting in those meetings, you're like, well, I don't even understand what the hell they're talking about. So can you explain to me what changes we're actually looking at here and what you think might happen?
Okay. So first of all, you know, this is a little bit like Groundhog Day, right? We keep getting back to this. And honestly, I looked at this new bill, and it's honestly a little bit like the Atlanta Falcons getting a chance to rerun the Super Bowl and running the same plays.
That would be helpful to me, by the way, if they would do that. But that's separate.
All right, Tom Brady still would have won.
That's just a financial situation for me, doctor. But go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me just go over what they're saying now. They're still trying to really titrate between the moderates and the conservatives. The two things that they're concentrating on now, which was sort of what was happening toward the end of the last time we talked, around essential health benefits and community rate. So essential health benefits are basically, Obamacare said insurers have to cover 10 things. Maternity care, substance abuse, prescription drugs, a lot of stuff. And that increased the cost. It basically gave the government a dollar to pay for a dollar quarter's worth of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So basically Obamacare said, we're just going to give everybody the quarter and deal with it. What they're trying to figure out is how can we get that dollar and a quarter down, and they don't really want to disrupt health care. So essential health benefits means you insurers can give people plans without maternity care, without prescription drugs, without substance abuse or mental health. Now, here's the problem. That just really moves the cost over to the hospital. Because if a 27-year-old says, you know, I don't think I'm going to get pregnant, and I'm not going to get the maternity care, I'm going to save, you know, $300 a month. And then she gets pregnant and shows up in my emergency room. I'm going to take care of her. And the insurance company is going to say, oh, sorry, Steve. She got the skinny plan. It'll allow the Republicans to say she's covered, but she's really not adequately covered. The second one is even more dicey because what community benefit means, or community rating, insurers can't charge consumers based on medical history or gender. So the problem is, once you sort of leave that to the states, then you're getting into one of President Trump's promises about pre-existing conditions. Because while it means you can insure those, you have to insure those people with pre-existing conditions, you can charge them a lot more to the point where they wouldn't be able to afford it. Does that make sense?
Yes. It does. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
And so those people will be in jeopardy.
That's going to satisfy the conservatives. Right, that's going to satisfy the conservatives. My guess is it's not going to make the moderates real happy.
But you're going to be able to sell. I mean, here's the concern, is that this system will kind of go back in time a little bit to allow insurance companies to be able to sell you what some people call junk insurance, which is they're going to give you a $10,000 deductible, and they're going to cover only certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And that the premiums are going to be low. I mean, that's going to be the good news for people, right? But
and you'll be able to check off those people as insured. But
right.
Not really.
But when they show up in the hospital, if they have a car crash or they've got, you know, a lot of other things, you know, the car crash are probably going to be on the line for $10,000 at least. But if they have an ongoing, if they have, you know, God forbid they get cancer or some other chronic disease, deadly disease that they need life-saving medication for over a long period of time, that sort of, if they buy health insurance that you're describing here through the new exchanges, that's not going to cover what it is that they need to pay, right?
You hit the nail on the head. So again, this isn't really a healthcare reform bill. It's a how are we going to pay for a healthcare delivery system that we don't have enough money to cover everybody for bill.
So conservatives would argue.
And the Democrats. I'm sorry.
So conservatives would argue that that's okay. I mean, people should just pay as they go, and you know, we're offering at least we're saying that healthcare coverage should be available to everybody, but at a different price and for your different needs. And buyer beware, it should be up to the individual to be able to figure this out what is best for their lives. However, and that is that in the main, it's a very clean political philosophy. But in the main, what you find out, I think to your point, Doctor, is what you find out is that people will defer to the best cost available and just they will pay the least and hope for the best. And then it comes back down to the hospitals and to the care providers, because you have to cover them. You have to take care of them when they present at an emergency room or at a hospital or whatever the case is, stabilize them, and then, you know, send the bill somewhere.
Right. Where?
Right. So there's only four people, you know, again, if you've got a dollar to pay for a dollar and a quarter's worth of stuff, there's only four people that you can affect: insurers, providers, pharma, or people, poor people predominantly. And I think at the end of the day, this is going to have the most negative effect on providers and people that make bad decisions or can't afford healthcare. The insurers will be fine, and pharma is again untouched. I mean, that's the problem. Nobody wants to recognize where the core problem. This is almost like, in a clinical way, this is like I got a patient with a rash, which is telling me she has cancer. I'm going to treat the rash. That's how we're dealing with healthcare reform in this country right now.
Dr. Klasko, one of the strongest criticisms we've heard of the current system is that the older and sicker people are being more well served by the system, and then the healthier people are finding the premiums too high to even want to opt in, or being underserved if they are in it because they're paying too much and not getting much. Do you find in your clinical experience, are you seeing that? Is that an outcome that you're noticing?
Yes, that's absolutely the case. So what's happening now is that younger people are being mandated to provide coverage. Younger people are being mandated to provide coverage, cover for those older people that aren't being taken care of enough with the dollars and insurance. It's, you know, I can say it a bunch of different ways. We have to reform healthcare delivery, not reform how we pay for a broken system. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was to really sit down with President Trump, that's what I'd say. He can't talk about that stuff in phase three. And the problem is, to really get to reforming that system, he's going to have to work with Democrats, which, by the way, lasted for about 36 hours, I think, right?
Right. Well, there's still a little talk of that. He's well, I don't know. Doctor, please don't try to ask me to explain what's going on. I can't do it.
We should not inject logic into
it.
Sorry I did that.
I know you're not a psychiatrist, but I'm going to ask you just for a second
here.
Just to listen to me for 1 second. Every night I go home and I try to figure this thing out and I can't. And it drives me nuts because I know my job is to show up the next day and explain it. And I don't know. So it keeps changing. But this at least we kind of understand because we know where we were coming from. We know where we were coming from before Obamacare. We know what Obamacare did, the things that it did, okay, and the things it did not so okay. And now we have now we're left with this system that for political purposes is called a disaster. It's not quite a disaster, but it is not sustainable under its current trajectory. So we have to. Right. Is that a fair way of saying that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, President Obama said, you know, again, getting back to my metaphor, you know, I know we only have a dollar to pay for a dollar and a quarter. I'm going to give every single person a quarter. I'm going to give the insurers a quarter. I'm going to give the patients a quarter. I'm going to give the providers a quarter. And by the way, eventually it'll go down to a dollar. And it's unsustainable.
Right.
The problem is without changing the system. So really what it gets down to is, look, Republicans don't want to mandate things. Okay? And Obamacare did a lot of mandates. It forced people that didn't want to buy insurance to buy insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It forced people to get care
coverage for things they wouldn't necessarily use.
Yeah. Right. So this is the new stuff is a very Republican plan. The problem is that, again, some of the essential health benefits really are essential. A 45-year-old who's had her tubes tied does not need maternity care. A 25-year-old that doesn't think she's going to get pregnant probably should have maternity care if there's a possibility. And the other problem is allowing insurers to go to insurers and say, you have to cover people with pre-existing conditions, but you can now rate that insurance based on what their situation is, could really be the same as not covering people with pre-existing conditions. Because somebody makes $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, if their insurance is too high, they're going to say, I can't do it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to leave it there, Doctor, but my God, thanks for listening to me. That's all I suppose is the only way to, you know, try to.
You know, if I were you, I'd just have a good glass of wine and watch something other than the news.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, in 28 minutes, that's exactly what's going to happen. 38 minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Klotko. Now you can say, my doctor ordered that, or a doctor ordered this for me.
Yeah, my doctor's had some thoughts on that over the years.
He has, not always along those lines.
I tend not to agree with him on a lot of it, but, you know, we all have a right to disagree. I think we're all entitled to our own sets of facts now in the year 2017.
What is a fact?
That's right, Violetta. What is a fact? Doesn't matter. Okay. Why don't you do the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot? Are those facts?